Thompson, Miloski is offside again, but Kennedy wasn't. Here goes Matty Kennedy. The Rangers defence was asleep, and the return for Miloski. Aberdeen pounce and get the goal 5 minutes before half time. The Rangers back four was sleeping. Kennedy pounced, and Miloski keeps his cool to break that drought at the most important of times. The Aberdeen fans delirious as they lead in the Viaplay Cup semi-final.
Well, they've had their warnings, Rangers. They're fully aware that Aberdeen have almost got in a couple of times. But just look at the hesitation from Barisic, from Alan McGregor. They get caught in between. No one goes for the ball. You've got to say, Matty Kennedy, great determination, great desire to go and chase the ball down. But once he gets there, it's to be taking a breath, composing yourself, finding that right way to pass. And he's absolutely nailed it. Miloski, it's all about calmness, all about composure. Takes all the pace off the ball, takes it away from McGregor. It's a top-class finish from a top-class striker. And do we have an upset on the cards? At this moment, we absolutely do.
Hello and welcome to the AFC Donscast. Recovered yet? Well, Bojan Miloski's opener in the Scottish League Cup semi-final on Sunday wasn't enough to secure the win, not helped by another Anthony Stewart sending off. Coming up, Jim Goodwin provides a post-match reaction from Hampden. Aberdeen Women were back in action on Sunday as well in the league against Hamilton and secured a win to take us out of the relegation places in SWPL1. But we've got some more Dons and supporters news and a roundup of the weekend matches in the Premiership. This is the AFC Donscast from the Inverness Reds. And welcome to the AFC Donscast on Tuesday, the 16th of January. It's Graham here with your weekend roundup. We played our hearts out at Hampden on Sunday with a performance to be proud of, and equally the Red Army did the team proud as well throughout the 120 minutes. It was the same starting lineup that won against St Johnson the weekend before, with new signing Patrick Mislovic getting a seat on the bench. It was a nervy start for the Dons, with Rangers enjoying the best of the opening exchanges. But Aberdeen came into the game. Leighton Clarkson put Miloski one-on-one with Alan McGregor, hitting his shot into the net from a narrow angle, only for it to be disallowed for offside, with VAR calling the same. The end-to-end action continued through the first half, when Aberdeen took the lead in the 41st minute. A ball played forward by Clarkson was left by Miloski, who correctly judged he was offside and let it run through. Matty Kennedy collected and raced on ahead before knocking it back into the middle, where Miloski chipped past McGregor from 6 yards and the Red Army burst into celebration. Rangers were rattled and showed little composure until Kent, Morelos and Jack combined just after 60 minutes. Kent's flick found Jack, his found Morelos, the striker returned to Jack, and the midfielder's shot went in off scales. Clarkson got the Dons support going again with a fierce strike off the post. There had been an offside in the build-up though. There was another big talking point before the end of the 90. Sakala tried to escape Stewart on the left, only to be taken down by the defender. Stewart got a straight red and the Dons were heading into extra time with 10 men. Shortly after, Ryan Kent attacked Liam Scales, which seemed to be missed by the ref and VAR and should have been a sending off for the opposition. Tavernier's shot deflected onto the Aberdeen bar and out as Rangers continued to press in extra time, and Roof on for Morelos then got his reward. Wright meandered his way to the line on the left and cut the ball across for a striker to turn home for Roof to score and put Rangers ahead. Confusion reigned as Walsh consulted with his VAR colleagues amid communication problems, but the game continued with Johnny Hayes' strike forcing a stop by McGregor. Sakala thought he had scored when an effort deflected off Scales, but it fell past the post. Aberdeen had to throw caution to the wind and almost levelled when Scales' shot at a free kick was blocked by McGregor. We played our hearts out. A few talking points, the pitch, that Ryan Kent attack on Liam Scales, and yet another foolish sending off by Anthony Stewart. It was the latter that did the damage if we had any chance to equalise in extra time. It was a gutting end to a great game of football. Here's hoping we can kick on from this performance in the Scottish Cup next Monday.
In one big moment dominates the thinking of Aberdeen fans after that one, a game-changing moment, the red card for Anthony Stewart. How did you view it?
Look, I thought at the time it was a rash tackle. I was talking to one of my staff at the time, and I had a feeling it was going to be a red card. Extremely disappointed in that one. We don't have any real disagreement with the decision. We certainly won't be challenging it, that's for sure. It left us short, no doubt about it. But I thought Anthony and Scalesy, the two of them in particular, were excellent throughout the course of the game up until that particular moment. It left us with a mountain to climb. There's no getting away from that fact. So I have to give credit to the players that stayed on the park. You know, the going down to 10 men is always a challenging time, but in fairness to the players, they gave it their all. They gave it absolutely everything they had in the tank on a very difficult pitch, a very heavy, bobbly pitch, which was energy zapping to say the least. And the guys kept going right till the end, and even the last dying moments of extra time, we had one or two opportunities. Scales is unlucky with one. Obviously, Coulson late on is really unlucky with his one as well. Clarkson's hit the post. So we certainly didn't stop trying, Rob. We just unfortunately weren't able to get the equaliser.
Has Anthony spoken to the players?
Listen, he's apologised, obviously. It's a little bit too early after the event to really discuss it in there in the dressing room. I was more trying to focus on praising the guys who stayed out there and gave their all for the jersey. And I think, the supporters were immense. Again, they travelled down in great numbers, and their reaction after the game, I think, says a lot from what they saw in the performance. The team had given it their all and were very, very unlucky in the end.
Yeah, I mean, so many good things, so many standout performances in the team today and as a collective as well. But you don't want a pat on the back at this stage. You wanted a place in the final.
No, of course we did. I mean, we felt coming into the game that we had a good game plan. We were willing to give up the wide areas at times. Rangers, with Michael Beale now in charge, they want to play through the middle of you. They want to try and create gaps. They want to get Tillman and Kent on the ball in the little pockets in between your back line and your midfield. And it was really important that we congested that, and the distances between the players was going to be a massive thing today. And I thought the discipline and the concentration of the players throughout the course of the game really was excellent. And the first goal that Rangers get is just very unfortunate, to be honest. I think it was Liam Scales that gets out and gets the block on it, and from where I was it looked as if it was maybe spinning the other side of the post, but it just spun into the back of the net. Not a great deal Kel Roos could do. I think the shot initially was going the other side, and he's maybe a little bit flat-footed, but
it's a big deflection that takes it into the corner.
A huge deflection, and on another day that could go by the post out for a corner. The second goal, I think obviously the man less, the fatigue setting in. I think we get done with a ball in behind initially, and Kemar Roof, it looked as if had too much space in the middle of the 6-yard box. So that's a frustration from our point of view. But over the whole piece, I thought the players were excellent. I thought the first 5-6 minutes, and credit to Rangers, I thought they came flying at us and they caused us a lot of concern in the opening 5 minutes. But once the game settled down, I thought we grew into it really well, and I thought we had opportunities of our own. I think, I can't remember Kel Roos having loads of saves to make. I don't think it was a great deal between him and McGregor in terms of the saves. And I think both teams had probably an equal amount of opportunities to add to the scoring. So just unfortunately we weren't able to capitalise on those opportunities that we created, albeit scored a very, very good goal. With Bojan Majovski, delighted for him to be back in among the goals. Could have had a hat-trick in the first half last Saturday, but hasn't allowed it to affect him. And Matty Kennedy, very bright, very clever in that particular moment as well. Bojan was clearly offside. Matty recognised that. He kept going. The Rangers' backline stopped, and Bojan finished it with a plumb. So, look, it's we could sit here and talk about the ifs, buts and maybes. Unfortunately for us as a club, we're out of the cup. It's great to get here, but it's not what we wanted as an end game. You know, we wanted to go all the way and we wanted to have a cup final to look forward to in February, and unfortunately that's not the case.
Moving on is what you have to do. It's a big game at Tynecastle on Wednesday night against Hearts, and I guess at the moment you'll have a few question marks about who's available for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. The physio and the rest of the medical team are going to be extremely busy tomorrow. You know, there's a lot of guys cramping up out there. Again, the surface has played a huge part. I know there was torrential rain here yesterday, but you know, a pitch in the National Stadium, you know, with very few games on it in the last few months, shouldn't cut up the way that it has done in that one particular game. And you know, that's not me making an excuse. I don't think the pitch suited either team. So yeah, we've got a lot of fatigue, as you'd imagine. Hearts have had a couple of days extra to recover from their game against St Mirren. So yeah, they might be a little bit fresher than us, and we might have to utilise the squad. Kel Roos looked as if he's hurt his thigh. Duke was struggling early on with a calf. So you know, we're just going to have to assess the squad in the morning and then put a team on the park on Wednesday that's going to be good enough and competitive enough to go and get us the result we want.
It's difficult to talk about pluses when it's still so fresh and still so painful on the back of what's happened here, but that sort of performance against most other teams is going to give you a win.
Without a doubt. And I think there was lots of good individual performances, but it was the collective unit for me that pleased me most. You know, I thought, as I said, you know, the stuff that we worked on in the build-up to the game was about the shape of the team in and out of possession, because, you know, even when we were attacking at one end, I thought at Ibrox we left ourselves open a lot when we were in possession of the ball in their final third, and we were getting done on the break far too many times. I thought we sorted that out there today, and even in the last league fixture, I thought we had a far better shape about us. And I think, you know, you look at the last league fixture, this fixture here today, very little between the two teams, you know, and we're just extremely disappointed that we weren't able to get the result that we wanted. But look, we have to pick ourselves up. We can't, you know, you don't have a great deal of time to get over these things, especially when the games are coming as thick as fast as what they're going to be now in the next few weeks. You know, we're going to be Saturdays and Wednesdays for a couple of weeks at least now, so it's going to be challenging times for the squad, but that's why we've got a good, healthy, competitive squad, so that when we need to make the kind of changes that we have to make, potentially on Wednesday, the players coming in are of equal quality.
Thanks, Jim. See you Wednesday.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Cheers, Clarkson, Miowski.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights, and all the goals, exclusive interviews, and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
In the other cup semi-final on Saturday, Celtic beat Kilmarnock 2-0 to make a Celtic Rangers final in February. In the other matches at the weekend in the Premiership, Hearts defeated St Mirren 1-0 at Tynecastle on Friday night. In form, Hibs striker Kevin Nisbet scored a stoppage-time equaliser to secure a 2-2 Premiership draw with Dundee United at Easter Road on Saturday. Neither Motherwell or Ross County got the victory they craved for, as both teams shared the points in their fight against relegation. Stuart McKinstry gave Motherwell the lead in the 70th minute, but with 10 minutes remaining, substitute Jordi Hiwula, only on the field for a matter of seconds, snatched an equaliser and a 1-1 draw. Livingston sealed successive wins and climbed to fourth in the Premiership as they held off a spirited second-half fight back from St Johnston to secure a 4-2 victory. Stephen Kelly's first half double and a goal in either half from James Penrice was enough to secure all 3 points in a 6-goal thriller at McDermott Park.
Which one of y'all are lying to me?
I wouldn't lie to your face.
You either like me or you don't like me, and I don't care.
20 of the most devious game players. Some famous faces.
You might know me from The Bachelor.
I am from Survivor.
You may know me from Below Deck.
The winner of Big Brother All-Star.
Others, everyday Americans.
I am a political analyst.
I work in PR. I talk for a living.
Out on their way to my Scottish Highland castle to enter the ultimate murder mystery and win up to $250,000.
Oh yes, let's talk about that.
They'll work together as a team. to build up a prize pot.
$20,000 to play for.
By completing epic missions. But hidden amongst them are the traitors, who will secretly murder their fellow players at night, eliminating them from the game.
You're never far away from a murder.
The others must work out who the traitors are and banish them before they become their next victim.
I think you're a traitor. I think you're a traitor. I trusted you.
Oh, my God.
This is the ultimate game of trust.
You are flat out lying through your teeth.
Strategy and deception.
I would have put that outfit, so I don't think I trust your judgment completely.
This is the hardest game I have ever played.
I'm telling you, either banish me or murder me. I'm done.
This is The Traitors.
If you couldn't get enough of the UK edition, catch up with The Traitors US. All 10 episodes are available now on iPlayer and available on BBC Three. Aberdeen won 2-0 for the second consecutive week as Hannah Stewart and Bailey Hutchison goals saw off Hamilton Accies at the Balmoral Stadium on Sunday. The win saw the Dons jump two places in the SWPL1 table as they extended their unbeaten run to four matches in all competitions. Gavin Levy's options were boosted ahead of kick-off by the return of Ailey Shore, Francesca Ogilvie and Donna Patterson, who missed out last week, although Eva Thompson was still missing. Shore and Ogilvie went straight back into the starting lineup, whilst Patterson took a seat on the bench. Chloe Gover returned to the first 11 after starting last week amongst the subs.
All the latest transfer news. The AFC Donscast Transfer Centre.
Okay, the only bit of news so far in the transfer window is Aberdeen have confirmed that Patrick Mislevich is now officially a Dons player after completion of paperwork late last week. Jack Milne has moved out on loan to League One Kelty Hearts for the remainder of this season. And Evan Towler has gone out on loan to Elgin City and to the end of the season as well. Evan has spent this season on loan with Cove Rangers but hasn't played in the league for the Championship side since last October. And it looks as if Christian Ramirez's situation is coming to a head with the likelihood of him heading back to the MLS to Columbus Crew on a reported 3-year deal. That's the news so far. When Gary McLaughlin had a life-threatening heart attack, football helped change his life for the better. Walking football has allowed Gary to see his children grow up. Football saved his life. Find out how you can get involved in walking football. Search Walking Football Scotland.
Football. We talk about football for life. The older generation, we have football for life now. The day after my son's second birthday, I had my first heart attack. Pain that I've always said, like a red-hot poker lancing into the middle of my heart. I mean, this was my heart. The next thing I remember was being in A&E, lying on a table, all wired up to the ECG, and I had another heart attack. I think then at that time I really did worry, you know, I could die. Just thinking that I wouldn't be able to see my family grow up. My son was 2, as I say, my daughter was just under 4. But I wanted to be there, I needed to be there. You know, I'm their dad, I wanted to be a dad, I was enjoying being a dad. I wanted to be there for the rest of their lives. I just always remember Ben just walking out, holding his mum's hand, it broke my heart. And that became the focus. If I survive this, I've got to make changes to my lifestyle. I couldn't really do much. I'm not a swimmer. I couldn't run cycling. I couldn't cycle in the hills. So I struggled. I struggled for a good few years. I went on about 8 years, 9 years, and had my second heart attack. After the second heart attack, I was encouraged, shall we say, by my wife to come and try walking football. Eventually I tried, and it changed my life. I could say that's when football saved my life. I remember going along to my very first walking football session, but I really didn't want to be there. I suppose, was frightened, terrified to go back to Elizabeth and say that, you know, I'm not doing this. And I always remember my cardiologist when I first went to him, and I was concerned, but he reminded me that the heart is a muscle. Get out and exercise it. Walking football was doing that. Physically, it's tremendous. I was exercising my heart, my cardiovascular side of things, my muscles have got better, my balance improved, my joints have actually got stronger. A thing that we always forget about is the mental health side of things, but I felt that walking football certainly improved that. To be included, I was isolated because I was at home myself. Getting out there again to a walking football session, guys were saying hello. Hello, Gary. You know, you just feel included straight away. Someone who can't run anymore, doesn't have the pace anymore, even problems mobility-wise, it includes you. It allows you to come back and play football again. Is it still competitive? Yeah. A lot of these guys think that they are still 20, 30 years old. Since that first session, walking football did change my life. I've had a second chance, maybe a third chance, but I'm taking that chance now. Football has saved my life.
Well, we're back in league action tomorrow night, away to Hearts. Kickoff in Edinburgh is at 7:45 p.m. Tickets for the match are sold out. But if you're a Red TV International subscriber, you'll be able to watch it live. Coverage starts at 7:30 p.m. Audio only in the UK and Ireland. And it's also available on pay-per-view for £12.99 via Hearts TV. Just go to ppv.heartsfc.co.uk to purchase your game pass there. There are three other matches in the Premiership tomorrow night. Also kicking off at 7:45 is Celtic and St Mirren, and Livingston versus Dundee United. And at 8 p.m. it's Kilmarnock versus Rangers. Then at the weekend, it's more cap action this time. The fourth round of the Scottish Cup, with an action away to Darvel on Monday evening. Kickoff is at 7:45 p.m. Bit of shenanigans on the ticket front with this one. At the time of recording on Monday afternoon, no information on tickets. So look out on the Aberdeen and Inverness Reds website for more details. You'll be able to watch the match live on the BBC Scotland channel and also on Red TV International. Kicking off the weekend of cap action is Celtic versus Greenock Morton on Saturday. That's live on BBC One Scotland at 12:15 p.m. The other games are Alloa Athletic versus Falkirk, Arbroath versus Motherwell, Cove Rangers are at home to Ayr United, it's Dundee United versus University of Stirling, Elgin City are at home to Drumchapel United, it's Hamilton Accies versus Ross County, Inverness Cali Thistle versus Queen's Park, Kilmarnock versus Dumbarton, Linlithgow Rose versus Raith Rovers, Dunfermline are away to Partick Thistle, St Mirren are at home to Dundee, and Stenhouse Muir versus Livingston. Then at 5:30 p.m. it's St Johnstone versus Rangers, that'll be shown live on via Play Sports 1. And on Sunday, it's an Edinburgh Derby, Hearts and Hibs, or Hibs versus Hearts, it should be at 2 p.m. That's also live on via Play Sports 1. A busy few days ahead for the Dons. I'll be back on Friday evening with post-match from the Hearts game and a look ahead to the Scottish Cup. And with the Cup match being held on Monday next week, we'll make an appearance on Wednesday, Burns Night, on the 25th of January. Till then, have a great week and stand free.
All your latest Dons news.
This is the AFC Donscast.